colleges and institutions right across the country in relation to accessibility, upgrading IT systems, and also green initiatives and decarbonisation in general. Munster Technological University will be getting €3.2 million of that. This is alongside details that have come through over the weekend of cuts to €3,000 student fee to be fast-tracked for this incoming academic year. With me in the line to talk about this is the Minister for State at the Department of Higher Education, and that is Niall Collins. Minister Collins, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us in the programme this morning.
Good morning.
Can I ask you, first of all, your plans to introduce a €3,000 student contribution fee and to try and increase numbers eligible for grants, that's coming in next month now instead of, as expected, next year. Is that right?
Yeah, well, all of those decisions are subject to budgetary consideration, and that would be ultimately a government decision come budget time. But what is under consideration is a number of factors. If we can just step back from it slightly, we have had under consideration for a long time what's called the Cassell's report, and that is to look at the future funding of our third level colleges and our institutions. And that identified a funding deficit in the order of about €307 million to the institutions themselves. So that's the first aspect of it. The second aspect is we're reviewing SUSE. We're looking at the whole SUSE structure, the eligibility criteria, the income thresholds, the rates of grants. And we have made some changes to that. You'll be aware of that. That we increased the grant amount, we increased or at least reduced the adjacency rate so more people would qualify for the non-adjacent grant. So we've widened the scope slightly, but we'd like to do more because not enough of people are qualifying for a SUSE grant, and particularly working parents are finding themselves in a situation where they're squeezed out by virtue of their income, and the income thresholds are squeezing them out and they're finding themselves ineligible. So the third part that we're looking at now is the €3,000 student registration charge. And again, that's, you know, something which has been knocking around for a long time, and it's an old chestnut. So you will universally benefit every student and every family and every household that's going to third level college if you did something with that. So that's also under consideration, and what's been mooted is a possible €500 reduction in that, which would cost around €51 million to the Exchequer. So I suppose there are a number of issues that are in the mix, Jerry. I suppose the teachers have said repeatedly, we've all said repeatedly, that what we're trying to do is a mixture of targeted measures, but also a mixture of some universal measures to make sure that everybody benefits, or everybody can benefit from the cost of living measures that we're bringing in to try and buffer against the spiralling cost of living crisis that we're experiencing at the moment.
Yeah, and that will obviously come down to a final decision at budget time, but if it does happen, do you think that would be enough to make the difference for some people, or for many people, or enough people to make it worthwhile?
Well, look, I mean, to be honest, we've always said we're never going to be able to insulate people completely against the cost of living crisis that we're experiencing. Whatever we do will be criticised that it's not enough. We will have finite resources in terms of what we can spend and what we can apply to the cost of living crisis. So the budget will reveal all, and I suppose there'll be a lot of consideration and discussion between now and budget time as to the mix. But we're keen to stress that what we will do is there will be a number of measures which will come in immediately and will have immediate impact rather than a delayed impact through the budgetary process. So I suppose the cut in the student registration charge is one of those items that you could look at immediately and with a view to having an impact immediately.
And that's the key consideration when it comes to that. Look, I know that the announcement made this morning is obviously to help fund the colleges as well. One of the big criticisms has been the lack of infrastructure, maybe even particularly lack of modern IT infrastructure. Is that €40 million going some way to try and address that problem?
Yeah, well, I mean, investment into our capital infrastructure in our colleges has been ongoing. It's been ongoing for a number of years, and particularly across our technological sector, where we've the new technological universities like your own, the Munster Technological University, like the one in Limerick and the Midwest, the Technological University of the Shannon. And part of the commitment in terms of when we went in that agenda of creating technological universities was to ramp up the capital expenditure that was made available to these institutions. And I think the 40 million euros is a significant sum of money. As you said, 3.2 to the Munster Technological University and about 2.8 to the Shannon, to the Technological University of the Shannon. So it's significant, and it's also significant because it's devolved. And what devolved means, Jerry, is that the local management within the colleges have the discretion to manage the spend of that money locally and to devise the projects, the capital projects that need attention most immediately. So it gives that local autonomy in terms of the spend of money, which I think is the right way to go about it.
Okay, and look, Minister Collins, if I could just maybe to move a little bit to a better area where you're just coming through a little faint at times, if that's possible. But just in the meantime to that, that's about getting into college, I suppose, and having the right sort of equipment, and hopefully that funding will go there. But the problem with getting into college at the moment is the problem with getting accommodation for college at the moment. We've been hearing stories over the last number of days here of people having to buy cars to commute from Avidorney to UL, stories in the papers over the weekend, daily commutes from Galway to Dublin, back among the considerations being voiced by students who face these choices. We're heading for a serious pinch point this year. It is tied, I know, to the wider housing crisis, but what are you doing to try and resolve this, or at least help in some way in the short term with what's looking like it's going to be a particularly bad year this year for students looking to get accommodation?
Look, I mean, you've summed it up perfectly. It is a perfect storm. It is linked to the housing crisis. We have a number of things that we're working on. First of all, we're changing the legislation and the criteria where our technological universities, which were formerly our institutes of technology, they will now be allowed to borrow independently to build on-campus student accommodation. Heretofore, they weren't allowed to do that. Because it was just a technical, I suppose, adjustment where if they were to borrow, it would then be calculated as part of the general government debt. That didn't apply to universities, for example, like UCC or Galway or the University of Limerick. So that will level the playing pitch in terms of the institutes of technology. So they'll be able to borrow to build, and there's a lot of potential there. What we're also doing is my Department of Further and Higher Education, we're in discussion with the Department of Housing, and there's a proposal being brought to Cabinet quite shortly by my colleague Minister Harris to fund third level institutions to build 4,500 units of student accommodation through what's called the cost rental model, and that will identify particularly areas of high demand and areas of high student accommodation rental, and will provide a cost rental model, in other words, a cheaper rental model. Similarly, look, we're just obviously part of the Housing for All agenda. We're trying to get as many houses as possible built. And unfortunately, we've seen an exodus of a lot of smaller landlords from the rental market over the last number of years. And again, the whole tax structure around smaller landlords is quite unfavourable and punitive to them. And that's something which government is going to actively consider again as part of the budget. I do know that a lot of colleges are putting a lot of their own resources into the development of purpose-built student accommodation. I've seen it in Limerick. I've read it in other parts of the country. There is about 2,500 units, bed spaces have become available in the last 12 months across our various colleges. That's clearly not enough.
You're trying to get more people to offer digs, offer a room, you know, 14,000 euro tax free. It won't affect their welfare in the shorter terms, but that probably won't be enough. Is this another example of the failure of this government in terms of housing to move things quickly enough? It's starting to affect everything: third level education, older people's living arrangements, the availability of beds in the community, other things like that. It's starting to seep into and cause problems in every department now, the fact that there just aren't enough houses for people.
I wouldn't agree that it's a failure. It's a huge challenge, and it's a challenge that has to be met head on, and that's what we're doing. As I've just outlined to you, we have a number of initiatives in progress. As I say, it's not something that can be sorted overnight. Housing delivery, housing program delivery, takes a number of years for the pipeline to start delivering. And I think if you look across any of the local authority sectors, And I can cite my own of Limerick City and County Council, where I see a very active programme of delivery of housing units. And the Affordable Housing Act has now been passed. That's going to bolster the delivery of more houses. We have lots of social houses being delivered. There's lots of houses being delivered through our voluntary housing organisations, our approved housing bodies. So there is a lot going on in that space, undoubted. I think we need to put more initiative and more focus into the area of vacant and void houses. The census, which told us recently that our population has now grown again to over in excess of 5 million, has also pointed out to us the increased number of vacant stock that we have around the country. And I think we need a very strong initiative to address that issue.
Okay, final point, and it's on a separate issue. September 9th is the date when a decision is due on the liquefied natural gas project for the Shannon Estuary. We've seen a record number of Amber Alerts in the last couple of weeks. Big concerns about what we're heading into in winter. This project in itself won't solve the immediate short-term problem. However, it is becoming a political flashpoint. Your colleagues in government, the Greens, dead set against it as far as we're aware at the moment. You came out a number of days ago and said, you're backing this. We need it. This is what we need. Your party leader said it'll have to be part of the conversation when he visited Tarbert recently. Are you going to come to some sort of agreement, or are we heading for trouble at government level over LNG and the direction we need to go to solve our energy problems?
Yeah, well, I've always supported this project. The issue all along has been whether or not it would be fueled by fracked gas. And I think pretty much everybody across the country agrees that we need to avoid the use of fracked gas, because that's a practice which I don't agree with. Look, I mean, equally, everybody has to recognise, and the Green Party has to recognise this also, that the whole changed international and geopolitical landscape has brought everything back into sharp focus. It's now about energy security. And you know, at its crudest, this proposal at Tarbert will increase and bolster our energy security. It will give us more options. We're receiving most of our gas, as you know. Look, you know all the arguments, our listeners know all the arguments. Most of our gas is coming through the UK interconnectors, which is now a third country in the European Union. That's something which is now far from satisfactory, in my view. And I think, simply, it has to go ahead. The programme for government, the reference to Shannon LNG in the programme for government was to remove it from a government list of projects of EU common interest. That doesn't mean the project can't go ahead. Of course, the project can go ahead. The promoters, New Fortress Energy, have stated a very solid case, in my view. And I would say, pending the planning permission, I would expect, hopefully, if it comes out with the right decision, I would expect to see progress there in the not-too-distant future.
And
I
if
would
it becomes
that.
A red line issue for the Green Party, that issue of support in general for LNG?
Well look, I mean, government isn't building this project. Mm. You know, this New Fortress Energy
should we be
promoter.
Building LNG? Germany are building five of them in response to the crisis.
My own view is that we should. So let's see how it develops, but I don't see how it can develop into you know, some people want to talk it up into a crisis among the government and the coalition parties. I don't see how it will come to that. Look, I mean, we've just been talking about the shortage of homes. We have to heat these homes. We have to get power to these homes. We have to build these homes. We have to look after our growing population. These are the realities. So, and we've spoken about the orange amber alert in terms of our shortage of energy. So when the lights go out, or when the lights can't be turned on, we'll have people singing a different tune. So we have to plan ahead and future-proof our energy supply. It's as simple as that.
Okay, Minister, we'll leave it there. That's Minister Niall Collins with us on the line.